Good day, and welcome to the Center for American Progress Action Fund call on Haiti and Temporary Protective Status Developments. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Tom Javits. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thanks so much, and thanks, everyone, for joining the call. I will be moderating the call, and we have five terrific speakers that I'll turn the phone over to in a second, but I wanted to provide a quick update on the state of play first. There are approximately 50,000 Haitians with TPS in the United States today. TPS was granted to Haitians in 2010 and expanded in 2011 following the earthquake that devastated much of the country. With TPS, recipients can legally live and work here. The Department of Homeland Security is right now in the process of deciding whether to extend TPS, which is set to expire on July 22nd, 2017, and we're expecting a decision within the next 2 weeks, but no later than May 23rd. It was recently reported that Acting Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, James McCammett, recommended that DHS terminate TPS effective January 22, 2018. And in his memo, McCammett states that the conditions that justified the grant of TPS in 2010 have been, quote, largely ameliorated. This reverses the conclusion made just 4 months earlier by career USCIS staff who concluded that many of the conditions justifying that original grant in 2010, quote, persist. The decision ultimately is going to rest with Secretary Kelly. So now on to our speakers. Our first speaker is Representative Yvette Clark, who represents the 9th Congressional District of New York, which covers much of central Brooklyn. Representative Clark has served in Congress since 2007 and is a member of the Congressional Black Caucus and a co-chair of the Caribbean Caucus. Unfortunately, she will not be able to stay with us for questions because she has to drop off after her remarks for a congressional hearing. Next, we will hear from Leon Rodriguez, a partner at the law firm of Safe Arts and Shaw. Immediately before moving to private life, he served from 2014 to 2017 as the Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, a component of the Department of Homeland Security. In that role, he oversaw a workforce of 19,000 government employees in 223 offices around the world. Third, we'll hear from Dr. Paul Farmer, a physician and anthropologist who chairs the Department of Global Health at Harvard Medical School. He's well known for his writing and clinical and academic research, much of it focused on Haiti, and for his work with Partners in Health, the organization that he co-founded in Haiti's impoverished rural Central Plateau to deliver high-quality health care to a community displaced by a building project. He's actually dialing in from rural Haiti right now, so hopefully the connection holds. Fourth, we're going to hear from Reverend Dr. Phileas Nicholas, the founder of the Evangelical Crusade of Fishers of Men, a church affiliated with the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, that has served the Haitian community in Brooklyn, New York for over 43 years. Prior to his current ministry, Dr. Nicholas served 9 years as a pastor at the Evangelical Haitian Church of Christ. And last, we're going to hear from Antoinette Pierre-Louis, the Director of Legal Counsel at the National Alliance for the Advancement of Haitian Professionals, an organization founded in 2011 to support career development for Haitian professionals and to help rebuild Haiti through philanthropy and social entrepreneurship. So I'm going to turn it over now to Representative Clark, and we'll take questions, obviously, after all the speakers are done.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to hear from me today. Haiti is a country that is deeply important to me. It is located in the heart of the Caribbean and possesses a unique history and culture that enriched the entire region. Sadly, the 2010 earthquake killed hundreds of thousands of people and caused billions of dollars worth of property damage, deeply impeding the Haitian people's ability to flourish. In the wake of this tragedy, foreign aid workers rushed to help. However, many of the peacekeeping individuals that were brought in also brought with them cholera, and that has now been attributed to the death of more than 10,000 people. Just as the cholera epidemic was stabilizing, Hurricane Matthew hit the southwest region of Haiti, killing more than 1,000 people and seriously damaging Haiti's food supply and facilitating the continued spread of cholera. In the days following the 2010 earthquake, President Obama added Haiti to the list of countries designated for temporary protected status. He subsequently redesignated Haiti 3 times for 18-month periods each, given the ongoing temporary conditions affecting that country. Now, for the first time in 7 years, the acting director of U.S. Citizenship Immigration Services, James McCammett, has issued a recommendation to end temporary protective status for Haitians. I believe that this is a reckless, short-sighted, and simply unacceptable decision on his part. There are nearly 50,000 Haitian nationals now enrolled in TPS, including 9,000 people in the New York, New Jersey city, New York, New Jersey, Newark, and Jersey City metropolitan area alone, all of whom are fully integrated and all of whom are contributing to their communities. They are our neighbors, they are our friends, and they are my constituents. And they depend on TPS to avoid returning to extremely dangerous conditions in their home country. However, expanding TPS also makes economic sense for the United States and Haiti. We know that Haitian nationals here in the United States work hard to send remittances back to their families and friends. These remittances are critical in the recovery effort. They have provided for basic needs, education, agricultural restoration, business development, and home reconstruction in Haiti. Extending TPS would also provide the United States with more than $2.8 billion in GDP growth over a 10-year period, in addition to nearly $350 million in Social Security contributions and more than $80 million in Medicare contributions over the same time period. In contrast, it would cost the American taxpayer $468 million to remove Haitians with TPS from the United States. For these reasons, I've organized with all of my colleagues of the Congressional Black Caucus from the House of Representatives and the Senate in sending a bipartisan letter to Secretary of Homeland Security John Kelly requesting the extension of TPS for an additional 18-month period to January of 2019. This letter also asks Secretary Kelly to allow all Haitian nationals who've been in the United States since November 4th, 2016, to enroll in TPS. Currently, only people who have been here since 2010 are included in TPS, which unfairly excludes Haitians who came here before Hurricane Matthew and are now facing the same precarious conditions upon their return. I've also introduced the Haitian Emergency Relief Act of 2017, H.R. 1014, which would provide TPS for Haitian nationals who've been in the United States since November 4th, 2016. This TPS would be valid for 18 months. Allowing Haitians who are already present in the United States to remain here is the least that we could do under these extraordinary circumstances. I thank the Center for American Progress for organizing this call this morning and my distinguished colleagues, Director Rodriguez, Dr. Farmer, the Reverend Dr. Nicolas, and Ms. Antoinette Pierre-Louis, and our moderator, Tom Jowitz, for taking the time to participate. The Haitian people deserve the opportunity to rebuild, and I'm hopeful that by working together, we can make our voices heard. And I thank you once again.
Thank you very much, Congresswoman. If people, again, I know that she has to leave for a call for a hearing. If people have questions for her, they can obviously direct them to us or to her office directly, and I'm sure they can get you responses. So next we're going to turn to Leon Rodriguez.
Yeah, good morning. This is Leon Rodriguez. I served as Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services from 2014 to 2017. As such, two of the determinations to extend Haiti TPS occurred while I was director. I won't be at liberty to discuss the deliberations that went into those decisions at the time, but what I would like to do is provide both some legal and some historical context on how TPS has worked and the conditions that typically affect those countries that have been designated under TPS historically. So the TPS law, which dates back to the early 90s, permits originally the Attorney General, now the Secretary of Homeland Security, to designate a country for its nationals to receive temporary protected status in cases where there is either ongoing armed conflict, which would make it unsafe for nationals of that country to return, in cases where there has been some sort of national disaster, such as an earthquake or a hurricane or an epidemic, and that it is that foreign state is unable to handle adequately the return to the state of nationals back to that country. And then there's finally sort of a catch-all provision that permits the Secretary of Homeland Security to grant TPS, to designate a country for TPS, where there are extraordinary and temporary conditions that prevent the nationals of that country from returning safely. Now, the way the process has historically worked for TPS, typically the request for TPS comes from the country to be designated. That's not always the case. So, for example, in the case of Syria, that's one that was granted spontaneously by the United States. But really, in the majority of countries, the countries themselves ask for that help and support from the United States. The State Department conducts its own analysis, but the most critical part is the analysis that is conducted in the Office of Policy and Strategy that is within United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. And what that office looks at, and it looks at a variety of both publicly available sources, government sources, including in some cases classified sources, looking at two issues. One, what is the triggering circumstance in that country? What was the impact of that triggering circumstance? So if we're talking about an earthquake, we would be looking at what the levels of displacement were, what the levels of homelessness, what the levels of food shortage, et cetera, would be as a result of that incident. And then looking at the existing conditions in that country at the time of either original designation or later redesignation to make a determination as to whether that country is able to reabsorb the return of its nationals. And so very often what we find in countries that get designated for temporary protected status is you have often a breakdown of government institutions, you have housing shortages, ongoing food shortages, a weakness of public safety apparatuses, and a variety of other conditions that basically make it difficult for people to return to those countries. One of the things that I've observed over the years is that the countries that end up being designated for TPS are countries where those conditions were often already pretty fragile, even prior to the triggering event for temporary protected status. I think that is to some degree true in the case of Haiti. So as a result, the inability of the country to satisfactorily reabsorb its nationals is one that, in fact, persists for quite a long time. So in the case of Haiti, that's a relatively short length of TPS. It's only country has only been designated for roughly 7 years. There are a handful of countries that, in fact, have had TPS for much longer. And the reason that they've had it for much longer is because the sorts of conditions that make it difficult for those countries to reabsorb their nationals persist over a long period of time. And so one of the things that is significant from my perspective about the decisions with respect to Haiti is the fact that this is the first major one that's been considered by this administration. There are a number of other significant ones, ones that affect, in some cases, even many more people than in the case of Haiti. And so this is an important precedent as to what's going to happen prospectively. It's important to underscore that the process is not necessarily a linear process. meaning that the analysis of conditions that's conducted by the Office of Policy and Strategy often occurs amidst a series of communications among many different parties within an administration, within the federal government, who may or may not play a role in the ultimate decisions that are made about the TPS designation. The final thing that I'd like to say is, you know, one of my ongoing concerns about the overall system of humanitarian admission, either when we're talking about refugee admission, asylum admission, TPS, is that we've often been squeamish about saying that we invite people to come under these various mechanisms for humanitarian reasons. I don't think we should be. In fact, it is in the U.S. interest to support those countries, those societies that are going through difficulty. In the end, that is actually something that further and better promotes regional security, national security. And so from my perspective, that is how those situations should be treated. Thank you.
Thanks, Rector. That's actually that's a great point to end on and to transition, actually, Dr. Farmer. So, Dr. Farmer?
Thank you very much, and thank those who joined us. I'm going to focus on health care, on public health and care delivery. I have been working here since 1983 in Central Haiti, so I've also seen the political turmoil after the collapse of the dictatorship and the various coups that have occurred since, as well as floods, hurricanes, and earthquakes. And these, of course, as Dr. Rodriguez said, these are profoundly destabilizing events in a fragile place. And just to start with public health, the cholera epidemic that began 7 months after the earthquake has not been brought under control, and we're not closer to eradication, or as close to eradication as we should be, in part because there have not been resources, although they've been pledged, they have not been delivered, and it's possible to track the numbers on this as well. And even were the resources who have been delivered, Haiti is a public health desert. It does not have the sanitation, water sanitation, case finding, epidemiological surveillance that would be required. And that's going to take some time here, much more rapidly, say, than in other Caribbean countries to which cholera spread in this current outbreak. That's going to take more time here. And of particular importance, I think, in considering TPS renewal, Haiti is not only a public health desert, but a clinical desert, meaning there is not the kind of care that is needed for critically ill and injured people. And every time there is a flood, and it's flooding right now, by the way, in the south again. The rains have started, and there's already been flooding this past week. After the destruction of most of Haiti's major medical centers by the earthquake, there's been a real tardiness in rebuilding these facilities. And so the situation from a medical point of view is not widely ameliorated, that is, across the country, because, you know, just take the example of electricity. Without electricity, it's impossible to take care of critically ill and injured people. In addition to that, there's just not the staff required, the stuff that's needed, the space, meaning the hospitals and clinics that are needed to take on major illness and injury. And that, of course, has significant impact on anyone who's sent back here who does have an illness, and that includes chronic illnesses as well. In addition, I mentioned that the rains had started, and I want to talk a second about environmental fragility as related to health. Hurricane Matthew, of course, was a wake-up call. It's one in a long line of major hurricanes and storms, including those that occurred in the years just prior to the earthquake. So food insecurity, for example, transportation, and water security, as well as food security, were all badly damaged, and will be for some time because of Haiti's extreme environmental fragility, the result of deforestation and a number of factors that are well known. This morning, if I may add, here in central Haiti, which I'm up in the hills a little bit, so groundwater gets polluted much less easily. This morning, the water is dark brown, and I wouldn't drink it, and you know, I wouldn't even bathe in it. And that just happened over the last couple of days. In terms of housing security, Director Rodriguez has already talked about this. The destruction of housing stock by the earthquake is probably well known to those on the call, but it seems to me, having heard him review the criteria for TPS, he meets every one of them. And the numbers may be less in a larger country, more populous country, but in terms of the fraction of people who would meet the criteria, they're very high here. Remittances were mentioned. I'll just say one word about that as someone who's been moving between Harvard and Haiti for over 30 years. The Harvard teaching hospitals where I train and where I am an attending physician, the big ones, just the two largest ones are thought to have 5,000 Haitian employees. And I would just ask people who are thinking about U.S. interests to imagine running a hospital in Boston, New York, or Miami without Haitians, who also, as has been noted, send home remittances, which increase the stability of their families and on an aggregate level of the country. So this would be disruptive not only for the families involved, but also, I believe, for a number of institutions, including hospitals, but surely many other industries that would benefit very little, to shorten the duration of TPS. And I would be glad to talk about the relationship between environmental fragility and health crises, but I think I should pass it on to the next person and again say thank you, and thank you, Tom, for moderating.
Thank you so much. And again, now I'll turn it over to Dr. Phileas Nicholas.
Thank you. I thank God for all of you who were not Haitian born. Well, you visited Haiti sometime, but you really don't have the Haitian blood. And are interested in Haitian plight. I am a Haitian born. I left Haiti in 1965. And I go to Haiti from time to time. I have family there. The contribution of Haitian in the United States is very great. In many workforce, you find Haitians. Haitian hate welfare. They don't drain economy, the United States economy. Even unemployment, they refuse to get unemployment. They rather get it, do a taxi job or go to a car wash instead of going to unemployment. We have many professional Haitians in many spheres of life. Haitians are well-known homeowners, business owners, taxi drivers, and most of them. And the Haitian TPS, those who have TPS, you will find them in the housekeeping. Removing them from the United States, not having permit to work, you will lose the workforce for the housekeeper. You find them doing the housekeeping job, helping those Americans who cannot work, who are in the army, injured in the army, cannot walk, and Haitian has to go to help their home, clean their homes, and help them to continue living. We decompose the workforce of mostly the housekeepers, the restaurants, the restaurant cleaners, the car wash, because those TPS, they are not qualified to have that professional job, yet they should sustain their life. They are very useful member of the community. I joined us to my Congress representative, Yvette Clark, to ask for extended TPS, not only to renew the TPS from 2010, but to give to grant TPS from 2010 to November 4, 2016, because we have many of the Haitians that flight from persecution, from killing, from hunger, from disease, running for their life. They come to the United States in search of a better life. They didn't have to leave Haiti. If Haiti were a better place to live, if Haiti were stable, if the political situation were stable, if the persecution or destruction or disease were controlled in Haiti, they do not have to leave Haiti. They love to stay in Haiti. Even though they are here, they still have related family members in Haiti. Whenever they make $50, $20 from $50 they make will go back to Haiti to support their family members in Haiti. Removing them from work, removing them from Haiti, you're killing family. We'll kill family, we'll separate mothers from their children, which are American bonds. We'll separate husband from wife. We'll separate fathers from their children. We'll destroy family. And America is based on family. When I come to the United States, I was welcome to join the family, United States family. And till now, family has a base in the United States. And I'm expecting that our countries, our representatives, grant TPS to the Haitian living in the United States from 2010 to November 4, 2016. That will be very helpful to help relieve the country, Haiti. If you love Haiti, if you want to help Haiti, help the Haitians that are living in the United States. May God bless you. May God grant us power to live together as one nation under God.
Thank you so much, Pastor. And our last speaker now is going to be Antoinette Pierre-Louis. You talk to him?
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate the opportunity to speak on this platform in regards to the TPS status for Haitian citizens. The organization that I currently represent, the National Alliance for Advancement of Haitian Professionals, was founded to provide Haitians and Haitian Americans with educational and professional opportunities to better succeed in their careers. Our objective is to generate increased access to capital for Haitian businesses, raise the number of low-income students of Haitian descent that graduate from college, and expand civic participation and leadership in our communities. We offer a variety of programming to better those efforts, whether it's through networking, through connecting our members with businesses, through trainings, through professional development, et cetera. We seek to support, empower, and engage our members to attain great heights professionally. And this is particularly important to our organization because many of our members are recipients of the temporary protection status. Those granted TPS have immersed themselves into the fabric of our communities, schools, and various businesses. They have used what opportunities they have in the U.S. to support their families and communities left behind in Haiti. The lives that they have built in the U.S. also help with rebuilding Haiti through remittances and service projects. These members are constantly helping our organization find innovative ways to better the Haitian community, whether through donations and fundraising or combined efforts with other organizations and businesses. If their status were allowed to expire, they will be uprooted from their lives and communities they have built here. Additionally, the businesses that rely on their employment, innovation, and service in the U.S. would also suffer a great loss. Haitians are a people with a deep, rich culture, a vast entrepreneurial spirit, and a love for family and a great appreciation for any opportunity given to them. America has only benefited from the influx of Haitian TPS recipients and all that they have to offer. Being from South Florida, I have seen Haitian citizens start their own businesses, provide for their families, and send their children to post-secondary institutions to seek higher education. One such family is my husband's family, who came to Southwest Florida in the early 80s with nothing. Now all four children have at minimum a master's degree. One is an attorney with his own firm, another a dermatologist seeking to open her own practice, another is becoming a nurse practitioner, and my husband has obtained his doctorate in higher education. I say that to say, even if given the opportunity, those with temporary protection status can make a long-lasting impact educationally and professionally on America. This is why NAHP does what it does and would like to urge the extension for the temporary protection status for Haitian citizens.
Thank you so much. So I think we're all done with speakers, and if the operator can direct the call.
Yes, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions.
Thank you so much. And I can just flag really quickly for folks who are gathering their thoughts. Yesterday, more than 400 faith leaders and faith-based organizations mailed a letter to Secretary Kelly calling for an extension of TPS. And if you're interested in getting a copy of the letter, you can go to interfaithimmigration.org or cliniclegal.org for more information.
Currently, no questions in the queue. Again, that's *1.
Dr. Farmer, I was wondering actually if I could turn one quick question to you briefly, if that's possible. One of the things that we saw in the recommendation from USCIS, essentially from last month, is that they say that the conditions from 2010 earthquake that have that justified TPS have largely been ameliorated, and there's sort of an overall feeling from the memo that, well, Haiti kind of, you know, was a mess before 2010. You know, and now it's just sort of back to being the same old mess that it was in, essentially. That's sort of the throwing their arms up in the air attitude you get from that memo. I'm wondering, someone who's worked there for 30-plus years, what are your thoughts on sort of the state of the recovery and how things compare now versus then?
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you. And I would just say, if you look at the country as a whole, which is I think what we're called to do here, you have to know that there's patchy amelioration. Rubble clearance has gone fairly well compared to what many anticipated. But housing stock, those who have personal capacity to rebuild have. Those who were already in precarious situations haven't. And again, focusing on health matters, you know, the burden of cholera, chikungunya, Zika, and to say nothing of you know, road accidents, et cetera, I think you'd be hard-pressed to say that amelioration is the right word. Maybe a patchy improvement. You know, here in Central Haiti, things are improved because we built a major teaching hospital to replace those lost during the earthquake. But that hasn't been the case all over the country. Meaning the reconstruction of them has not gone apace. Again, by the criteria that Director Rodriguez laid out, I would say that Haiti would not meet the definition of amelioration. Of course, a lot of people have worked very hard, and I would never belittle that. I've been one of them along with a huge team of Haitians. We worked hard to improve things, and we can point to some victories, but what we're looking for is real improvement in health, well-being, sanitation, And, you know, that's just got to be at a national level, that consideration. I don't know if that answers your question.
Definitely, yeah. Thanks so much. Operator, has anyone else put in the queue?
Yes, we have a question from Joshua Bernstein with Service Employees International Union.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for this call. I wanted to ask Director Rodriguez a question because Ms. Clark referred to a recommendation that that USCIS had made, basically recommending that there be the TPS be terminated. And I wanted to know, is that recommendation a final recommendation? Is it binding on DHS, on their opinion? And if not, when do you think a final decision will be made by DHS?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Josh. Again, without talking about the substance of an earlier recommendation, those recommendations are not in and of themselves binding. It is the ultimate decision of the Secretary of Homeland Security in consultation with the Secretary of State as to whether TPS is granted or not. So in terms of what's been out there, it's a recommendation coming from a sub-cabinet agency, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, to the Secretary, which he is now in a position to accept or reject. And still has the option, actually, of rejecting the recommendation and extending TPS.
And once again, it is star one if you would like to ask a question, star one. And at this time, we have no further questions in the queue.
Okay. Well, I want to thank all of our folks for speaking on the call. This is really, really informative. I learned a great deal, actually. I hope the people on the call did as well. If you have any further questions, you can certainly reach out to Tanya, who sent out the advisory. We can make sure we direct them to the right people. Again, we've got a couple of weeks to keep watching this issue. So if you have more questions or more concerns, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll continue to engage. Thanks again to the speakers.
Yep.
Thank you.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.